If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
The High Court dismissing Mapisa Ngagula's urgent bid to interdict her arrest. On the line with us is Mpumelelo Zikalala, legal expert. Good evening and welcome. Mpumelelo, welcome to Point of View.
Good evening and also good evening to your listeners.
Okay, so we almost expected this particular outcome from the court. Let's talk about what exactly she wanted. Two things, I believe. She wanted this to be dealt with urgently, number one, and then we'll discuss the second matter. But let's talk about the matter of urgency.
Well, she was basically saying, I want to jump the queue. I want to the court to view at my matter and leave all the other things and concentrate on me. Now, there are certain elements that you need to prove. Most important is that you must be able to show the court that you're going to suffer irreparable harm and that there are no other alternative dispute resolution mechanisms available to you in order to solve the concern that you might have. Now, it is your duty or obligation to show on your founding papers the irreparable harm that you're going to suffer, but most importantly, that there are no other alternative remedies that are there, which is what the court was alluding to when they said, well, the Criminal Procedure Act is available. There's nothing which is a cause for concern for us. What you're basically asking us to do is to stick to what is contained in the docket, something which is not readily available and something which will not be done under normal circumstances. But most importantly, you haven't shown us good enough reasons of why you should do that, of why you shouldn't be even be arrested on those basis. Then we're going to dismiss your matter because it does not comply with the four pillars or one of the pillars which are required in order for you to be regarded as being urgent.
And then let's talk about the fact that she's anticipating that the arrest will be unlawful. And I think the judge made a point of saying that it's speculation because she doesn't have a docket. She doesn't really know what the state case is. So you can't anticipate that it's going to be unlawful if you don't really know what the case is. And I just want to touch a little bit on what she based that on. So if we can go a little bit, there was obviously a raid in her home. The state looking for particular items that they had, were earmarked. They didn't find those items. Then she then went on to say, well, her legal representatives, that since the state could not find the items they were looking for, it then means their case is weak. It's not good enough because that's not all that maybe the state is basing its case on.
Not at all. And you don't have the full set of facts, which is the full docket or investigation report that might be compiled showing how the different transgressions actually took place. There was even an allegation as to the credibility of the witness that have now turned a state witness. Now, those are purely based allegations, and it cannot be that you are then going to rely on it. The court is very particular in terms of saying it must be a reasonable apprehension of harm. It can't be something that it's only an imagination which is going to be there. And reasonable apprehension then says, I have looked at the following factors. The only reasonable conclusion that I can draw is the following. But then what you are doing is you are trying to short-circuit the trial process. You are trying to say to a court which is dealing with this matter on urgency, probably when you've given your respondents or your opponents very limited time in order to prepare their papers, and you are saying to them, determine the merits of these matters or of the matter that I'm being faced with when you haven't been given enough time to prepare. The court is going to be very reluctant to take drastic decisions pertaining to that, especially when there's a full proper court that can be set up, be able to listen to all the evidence, all the rules of evidence being applied, and be able to come back to a conclusion. They always sometimes equate this issue of urgency, of irreparable harm to a matter of life and death. The question being, am I going to die if I'm not giving this particular reprieve? If the answer is yes, then there is irreparable harm that you're going to suffer. Is there any other alternative dispute resolution process that is there? If the answer is no, then definitely your matter is urgent. If it is not, then the chances of your matter being struck off the roll for lack of urgency are actually high.
Let's talk about some of the things that she stated to be of a matter of concern. So she stated the fact that her freedom will be, the state will be hampering on her freedom. That's one of the things that she states as a concern. Also, she speaks about her standing in society as being something that we need to take into consideration. The state needs to take that into consideration. And her reputational damage, was that something that you felt was good enough to state for the court to consider as being important enough to interdict her arrest because of those factors?
Not at all. It's almost saying, well, I'm going to be embarrassed by what is going to happen in Zohlazek. But it doesn't mean that the court, that the law cannot play its role and be implemented in a manner that is supposed to be done. The court will only intervene where there's non-compliance with the applicable legislation or common law, and that would lead to your rights being infringed. When it comes to the level of freedom, Section 36, which is clear, all the rights which appear in the Chapter 2 of the Constitution can be limited or reduced if you apply Section 36 of our Constitution. The standing in society has no standing or is not regarded at all in this type of cases because we are all equal before the law, and we should be tried, and the law must be applied in equal parts to all of us. So if I'm able to be arrested, she must be able to be arrested, and any other individual that is there. And when it comes to the reputation that is going to be there, well, if you take reputation in two senses, if it's something that is going to glorify you and put you up as a high-standing, valued member of the society, you should also take the bad parts which are going to be spoken badly about, including these type of applications. So it cannot be that if you're going to analyze this matter on a legal basis, that's the type of things in which you're going to look at. The court is simply going to look at things and say, is there any non-compliance which is going to take place either with the common law or legislation? If the answer is no, then we're going to entertain any submission in that manner.
Because one of the things that the judge does state is that it will set a precedence, right? So it means you and I can also then say, well, actually, you know, my friends and family are watching. I don't want them to see me in that light. It will then open the floodgates for anybody who happens to be a suspect to come to the court and say, well, actually, I just don't want to be embarrassed, so please stop this arrest.
Definitely, and those are not enough grounds in order for you to be able to do that. But you know, on that particular point, I think the speaker may not have won in terms of getting an order which is for him. Mm-hmm. However, she did win in the manner in which she's going to be arrested.
Yes, she did. Yes, because there isn't going to be a Hollywood style arrest, is there not?
Yes.
What we are expecting is a summons.
Definitely. In fact, what she was able to do was to get pre-admissions from the NPA of saying that we are not going to arrest you Hollywood style.
Yes.
We are not going to oppose your bail. Something which many other individuals may not even enjoy. They know on the day in which they make their first appearance whether the state is going to oppose or not. She's going to receive summons. Probably by the time the summons are received, their lawyers would have already started drafting their bail affidavits. So by the time you go to court, probably it's going to be a proceedings which are going to take no less than 10 minutes in order for them to be decided. So in that particular sense, there is an element of victory in terms of saying, at least I was able to save myself from the embarrassment that I would have enjoyed had I not gone to court. It's a topic, though, that must be held to then say, law enforcement agencies, is it necessary to engage in the type of arrest method in which you engage in, when at the end of the day, they have no bearing whatsoever on the sentences I'm going to get, in the manner in which the court proceedings are going to be held in? They have no bearing whatsoever. Why engage in them if they do not assist anyone? And why don't you use rather your resources and time to catching the real criminals that are evading or are not easily to be caught than to use it in normal individuals that you can simply send someone to and they will appear in court on their own?
The reason you think she got this, Mpumelelo, let's just go to that. Is it because it's a fraud case? What is it that convinced the judge to give this kind of leniency?
I think the judge was simply saying that these admissions they are contained in the respondent's affidavit from the NPA.
Gotcha.
So the NPA is already saying that these are the assurances in which we are going to give you. So if you say something in court and it's under oath and you go and break that, the promise that you've given under oath, actually it's a criminal offense. So I think indirectly the judge was saying, well, I'm not convinced that there's anything wrong which is going to happen. These are the type of undertakings in which the respondent is given. And if I've received such indications, then it seems to me nothing is going to be broken, no laws will be broken, no rights are going to be infringed. So let me allow this process to go through. I'm not going to even place an order that says this thing must be, the arrest process must be done in this manner. So on those basis, I think that is why I'm saying the speaker then won at the end of the day, because she was able to get what she was looking for, or not being arrested in a Hollywood style. I think the ultimate price in terms of picking of what the docket actually contains may not have been there, but they're going to get an ample chance to get that process or to be able to dispute whatever is stated on the docket at a later stage.
I can't help but say that even though this is, you know, this whole thing has been thrown out and with costs and so on, and you made a very important point about the manner in which she will be processed. Let's call it process because it's not really going to be an arrest. But that's based on the submission the NPA made, which I think is a very important one because actually, Bumelelo, it does speak to the prejudice that we sometimes get to face when you are a person of interest to the NPA, because we're not all afforded this assurance by the NPA to say no, Mr. Mpumelelo is a nice guy, you know, he's been practicing actually in the legal fraternity, and you know he's decent, and therefore we're not going to handcuff him, we're not going to haul him in. I wonder what this means, since this was their submission, and this the state then decided. In fact, the judge decided. Well, since you are saying this is how you're going to conduct yourself in relation to her, let's let it be. What does that mean for me if I then want to be afforded the same kind of courtesy?
In fact, it becomes the opposite if you're a person of interest, because they're going to say, even if it's Mpumelelo Zikalala, it will be behind the van and we'll make sure that we'll process them in the manner that we process every other individual. But what it does mean is that you may see a whole lot of other individuals going to court on an urgent basis.
Yes.
Not necessarily dealing with the arrest and whether it is okay or not, or the merits of the case. Dealing with just the process and the manner of arrest.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then saying, let's discuss that, because I do not want to stay behind the van.
Yes.
Give me summons and then I'll be able to attend in a process or in a manner which is much more respectable than what would have happened if it had not gone to court.
So you and I are going to do that, no? I mean, you know, you'll just ask not to be, I mean, I don't want to be handcuffed. I just want to be arrested in the manner that's dignified. Okay, let's talk then about what the NPA obviously has not told us what then, because she had already said she would be available from the third being tomorrow. But the NPA has not told us what's going to happen going forward. We can then assume what is likely to happen is that she'll be issued with summons. Before that happens, she just has to sit tight and wait.
Definitely. That's the only option that she has, just to sit tight, wait for those summons to come through. In fact, what she can start doing with the liquor rep is to start drafting even the skeletons of the affidavit, so that when the summons come, you simply plug in what's the nature of the offense that is there,
For the bail application. Got you.
Yes.
Because we now know the state is not going to refuse for her to get bail.
Yeah. It's just making sure that whatever which is contained in Section 60 of the Criminal Procedure Act does appear, because the burden of proof rests upon the applicant to do so. So it's even important that even though it is not opposed, you still make sure that you cover all the important points so that you increase your chances of being released on bail.
When that happens in Mpumelelo, she hasn't resigned. Remember, she hasn't resigned. She's just on leave. The ANC has not recalled her. What then happens? The minute she gets charged, then what?
Well, from a work perspective, I think her first line of defense would be to say, remember that I'm innocent up until proven guilty. So my status as a member of parliament ought not to be affected by the fact that there are charges which are leveled against me, unless, of course, there is certain rules within the ethics committee or the rules which are applicable in parliament.
Yes.
Let's say once you've been charged, then you need to step aside. But for reputational purposes, I think it may fall upon her to then say, well, I do not want to change the chair which I'm sitting on as a Speaker of Parliament. I know the type of debate and the comments which are going to come from members of parliament if I preside over a session while I'm a charged individual. So to avoid that and to avoid a spectacle taking place in parliament, let me just take leave or maybe resign from my position so that I can be able to make sure that I look at and then concentrate on the charges that I've been facing and prepare for them adequately.
All right. Thank you very much for your time. We wait and see. Mpumelelo Zikalala, thanks very much for that. Mpumelelo Zikalala is legal expert as we look into what is possibly going to happen with the Speaker of Parliament. As you know, she now will be processed by the MPA. When that will happen, we'll all have to just wait and see.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.